You're welcome back. You're with Morning Ireland. It's 11 minutes past seven. It's almost a year since the Hamas attacks on an area of southern Israel bordering the Gaza Strip. Over 1,000 people were killed and some 250 hostages taken. Israel vowed to crush and destroy Hamas and has laid waste to Gaza. In the past 2 weeks, it's intensified its campaign against the Hamas ally and Iran-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon. Up to 100 died just yesterday, 2 days after Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah was assassinated in attacks on Beirut. The latest blow that started with those deadly strikes on thousands of communication devices used by its members. The Lebanese caretaker prime minister said as many as 1 million have fled their homes. Early this morning, an apartment building in Beirut city centre was reported to be hit. This is the first hit within Beirut city limits. There are mounting fears of a wider conflict as Israel expands its campaign against Iran-backed groups, the latest against Houthi targets in Yemen. For the latest from Lebanon, I'm joined now by Beirut-based journalist Hannah McCarthy. It has been another night of disruption in Beirut. Is there fear in the streets now?
Well, it's certainly anxiety-inducing for a lot of people that the latest strike in Beirut was outside the southern suburbs that are kind of seen as the Hezbollah stronghold and at a place that's actually a very busy intersection. In the early hours of this morning, they hit a residential apartment near the Kola Bridge in Beirut. And this is a place where people would often get buses to the south or buses across Beirut. So it's a very busy part of Beirut, very densely populated. And we see kind of a building where it was some sort of targeted drone strike. So it's taken out kind of one floor of the buildings there. And we understand that three members of the PFLP, which is a Palestinian group, were killed. And again, elsewhere in Lebanon, we understand that Hamas's leader in Lebanon was killed in a strike further south in Tyre. So what we're seeing is, again, an extension of the campaign. Hamas targets in Lebanon are also being killed. And what happens in these situations is that there can be power vacuums within the organization. People can then be kind of fueled by, you know, revenge, someone more militant can take over. And we also are starting to get into this position where maybe other groups could see openings, weaknesses in other groups and a moment for them to move into a power vacuum. So it's very, at this moment, I think Lebanon is entering a very uncertain period.
And at the same time as you have that uncertain period, you have what Lebanon's head of emergency disaster management has called a catastrophic humanitarian situation. 1 million people are now homeless. Where are they going?
Sure. So I spent the weekend with some of them. Some of them went to the main square in Beirut, Martyr Square. It's a very open square, very little privacy, no public toilets. And there was, you know, mothers breastfeeding in doorways, very small children there. People, you know, brought mats with them. But many people had very little. That's because they left so quickly on Friday night when Israel dropped evacuation leaflets on southern Beirut saying that these places would be targeted. And indeed, they were targeted hours later. People were also staying on the beach. So very much out in the open. Others have found places in schools that have been converted to shelters. But I mean, these are not fit for purpose. And there are very few resources in terms of, you know, food from the government, medication for elderly people, milk for young children.
And Lebanon already, of course, coping with up to 1 million Syrian refugees and several hundred thousand Palestinian refugees. And so the country is at crisis point. And with the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, how have people reacted to that?
I mean, I was in Martyr Square when the news broke that Hezbollah had confirmed that he was died. And I mean, people were just stunned. I think many people still do not believe it. He has been this kind of figure that whenever there was a crisis moment in Lebanon, he would give one of these addresses. He would, you know, kind of direct the organization. He was kind of a source of comfort for a lot of his supporters and had led the organization for over 3 decades. So many people just did not believe it. Some screamed, some cried. Some people were firing shots in West Beirut. And of course, you know, some other communities, you know, were celebrating it in general, more privately at the moment because of how tense the situation is. But, you know, Hezbollah had plenty of people that hated it or didn't support it because of how they viewed it had taken over state infrastructure and how it had basically targeted its enemies extremely violently in recent years.
Talk to me some more, Hannah, about this power vacuum in Lebanon now. And are we seeing other militias moving into that space?
So, I mean, there's always been kind of, I guess, some level of kind of armed groups that have remained in Lebanon after the civil war. Hezbollah is the most notable, and it's the one that has, you know, grown in strength in comparison with others. But there's always been, you know, moments where over in recent years violence has broken out. Before the 7th of October, there was very violent clashes between Palestinian groups, between more secular militias and Islamist militias that destroyed some of the Palestinian camps. 2 years before, there was armed clashes that left several dead between Christian militias and Hezbollah. And at the moment, you know, there's definitely a fear that with Hezbollah kind of viewed as in a weaker position, that we could see friction between these groups as people, as some of these militias, you know, seek to either, what in their view, secure their communities or see an opportunity to, you know, gain ground.
And as we speak now, is there calm in Beirut?
In the area where I am, in East Beirut, it is calm. But I think, you know, around Kola, I mean, people are pretty, the footage that's coming out of there, people are pretty frightened there. Again, it's not somewhere they expected to be struck. So it's definitely very, very unpleasant for them there.
And of course, there are reports of Israeli tanks massing on the border with Lebanon. So the fear must be growing there of a ground offensive.
Absolutely. I mean, people in the south have been watching, you know, 24/7 footage of the war in Gaza for the last year. If you went to any cafe or restaurant there over the last year, it was just, you know, Al Jazeera playing footage from Gaza. So, I mean, people are terrified of what an Israeli invasion would look like. People have just decided, many people have decided they do not want to stay in Lebanon, including, you know, Syrian refugees and some Lebanese, and have gone to Syria because they've decided it's simply safer for them to take a gamble, go to Syria, you know, where there is still, you know, a brutal dictatorship, you know, where the economy is terrible. And they've decided to go there because they fear the onslaught that could come from an Israeli invasion so much.
Hannah McCarthy in Beirut, thank you for joining us. We'll have further analysis from Burgu Daragahi a little later on. It's 18 minutes now past seven. And we heard a short time ago from Lieutenant Colonel Seán O'Farrillta, the senior Irish officer in UNIFIL. He's in South Lebanon and he talked about a very dangerous and volatile situation. We're going to talk further now with Burgu Daragahi, fellow at the Atlantic Council and international correspondent with the UK Independent and Israel. And we've seen it, Burgu, Israel has intensified this campaign against Iran-backed groups in the region. Benjamin Netanyahu is emboldened. So is this wider regional war that people have warned about, is it already underway?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of seems like it is to an extent. I think there remain some modicums of control at this point and limitation, mostly on the part of Iran. I mean, I think Iran is being cautious. It's in a relatively fragile but improving situation geopolitically. It has recently warmed ties with its adversary, Saudi Arabia. Things with the Taliban are calmer. It's got control over Iraq. It's calmed relations with Azerbaijan. So it's doing okay on the regional front, and it is being cautious about not jeopardizing that by dragging the region into a larger war.
So how will that caution manifest itself in terms of its continued support for Hezbollah?
I think there is a lot of questions still about what's going to happen with Hezbollah. They literally need to dig themselves out of the rubble at this point and see what exists of the organization. And it's a confusing and unprecedented situation. So I think that, you know, at some point they will have to figure out what was damaged, who was killed, and where the organization heads from now.
Talk to me some more about Benjamin Netanyahu. He has talked about wanting the world, I think, to view Israel for what it is. He said a strong, determined and powerful state. How much is he strengthened now, both militarily and politically?
I mean, politically, it remains to be seen. And there's still a lot of hostility towards him from the Israeli population, especially the left and the center, over other matters. The conduct of the war may give him a boost, but you know, as the UK saw with Winston Churchill and World War II, oftentimes when wars end, it doesn't necessarily carry on politically for that leader. But the thing is, militarily, I think a lot of Iran's adversaries have underestimated Israel's capabilities. Israel's adversaries, rather, have underestimated Israel's capabilities in terms of intelligence, as well as hardware, and what Israel has done over the and achieved over the last weeks in terms of kinetically diminishing its enemies is fairly impressive.
Lieutenant Ofarta reminded us of five invasions into Lebanon since 1978. The Israeli tanks are massed on the border within South Lebanon. Will they cross? Is a ground invasion on the cards?
I'm not sure. I don't know how to answer that at this point. I think probably some kind of limited ground invasion could take place. But I think that Netanyahu is probably also being cautious about Israel's experience with those ground invasions. They rarely left a good aftertaste for Israel, especially, the long 1982 to 2000 occupation, which essentially created Hezbollah, which led to a population, the Shia population of Lebanon, which had no, real hardcore animosity towards Israel, becoming completely mobilized against the country.
So just finally, maybe briefly, if you can, what is the next play and who plays it?
Let's see what Iran does. I mean, if they're going to do anything, I don't think they're going to do anything. And if they don't do anything, if they don't do anything unprecedented, if they don't commit to some kind of offensive attack, that will give Israel even further space for maneuver.
Borzu Daragahi, thank you very much. It's 29 minutes to 9, news headlines from Brian Jennings.